There are certain players in sports that we call game changers. When they step on the court or when they step on the field, it completely changes the outcome of the game. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone, and to be sure, there were a number of teams that had hopes to be world champions this year, and the front office and the players are looking around the league and saying to themselves, if we can just get him, that's the difference we need. If we could just get him, put us over the top. Of course, in baseball, we're in the offseason right now, so many of us may be waiting for the Cubs and Theo Epstein to make that trade or sign that free agent to get that player who's the game changer so the Cubs can be World Series champs in 2021. I was over at my parents' house last Sunday as the Super Bowl was on, and I probably did more piggyback rides with my nieces and nephews than I actually watched the game, but you could still tell and know that Patrick Mahomes, he's a game changer. It's the reason they won, the Chiefs. And then when you're watching it, you're like, the Bears could have had him. The Bears could have had that game changer. But alas, they have Mitch Trubisky. Game changers, of course, are not limited to athletes. Actually, it's silly to just talk about game changers with regards to athletes because they just impact the game. You look across history, of course, there's game changers like Rosa Parks. One woman, by saying no and not giving up her seat on the bus, was a domino effect that empowered thousands of others to do the same, to begin a path to end segregation and to shine a light on the ugliness of racism. One woman changed the outcome. You could say changed the world. And when we're talking about, you know, all the impact and like changing the world, maybe be thinking like me, change the world. I'm in a my head down in my lane, going to work every day, taking the kids to practices. I'm just trying to have an impact on my family, let alone the world. But that's. We're not thinking about it the right way, because every single person in this church tonight, over the course of their life, will know roughly 1,000 people, and each one of those 1,000 people will know 1,000 people. That is to say that everyone is one person removed from 1,000,000 people, and 2 people removed from 1,000,000,000 people. There's 7 billion people in the world. So that is to say, everything we do, every choice we make, has a far greater impact than we can ever imagine. The good things we do, the bad things we do, good and big and small, has a far-reaching impact greater than we can imagine because of the network. Even more so, we could say today, because of social media. So a game changer thinks this way. A game changer thinks of the fact that, like, the impact big. And that, of course, is what Christians are called to be. Christians are called to think this way. Christians are called to be game changers. And in the gospel today, we continue in Matthew chapter 5. As last week was the presentation of the Lord, it fell on Sunday, so we didn't get to hear the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes of last week's gospel. But we continue today in Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus turns to his disciples and say, you are the salt of the earth. You are light of the world. That is to say, he's telling them, you're game changers. You ought to be game changers to have an impact on the world. So looking at both salt and light, both salt and light, they don't exist for themselves. They exist for something else. You look at salt. Salt is used to preserve other things, how we use salt. Salt is used to enhance other things, to bring about an enriched flavor. Same thing with light. Light is there, not for itself, but light is used to illumine other things, to have an impact and effect on something else. So notice the move that Jesus is making. He's saying Christians are not for themselves. So even, you know, about a month ago now, I'm talking about the process of divinization and the importance for us to grow in holiness and strive for sanctification. That is all very important. But the point here Jesus is making, it's not our own little holiness to be in a bubble for ourselves. Christians don't exist for themselves. Christians exist for others to have an impact on the world. Jesus goes on further to this point. He says, what good is salt if it loses its taste? And he says, it's used just to trample it underfoot. It's worthless. So much so, salt actually, if salt loses its saltiness, it ceases being salt as a chemical compound. Then he goes ahead and says, well, with light, if a light is placed underneath a bushel basket, what good is it for? It's worthless. So he's saying a Christian that doesn't impact the world is worthless. Whoa, Jesus. That's kind of harsh. But they're not living their call to the discipleship if we're not impacting others. That is to say, to be a game changer. And throughout the Gospels, we learn in many different ways that Christians are to have an impact on the world. To be sure, especially today, to be salt, to be light, as far as the importance of speaking truth. We talked about it a couple weeks ago of how we're losing even a biblical lenses to see the world with regards to simple human anthropology, of things that we're just getting confused of in the world. So it's important for us to speak truth in season and out of season, when it's favorable and when it's not favorable, even when it's politically incorrect. It's important for us to preach the truth. It's the importance of us impacting the world by proclaiming Jesus' death and resurrection, dying for our sins, saving us. But this weekend's readings highlight a specific way that the Lord is inviting us or asking us to impact the world. And moving on here in this Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, after he has the example of light and he has the example of salt, he says this in verse 16, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Heavenly Father. So Jesus is being very explicit here by saying, it's your good deeds and my good deeds that is to impact the world. So specifically, the readings here this weekend are exhorting us to be game changers by engaging in the corporal works of mercy. Maybe like, corporal works of mercy, I kind of remember that in catechism class. What are those again? Our first reading, Isaiah chapter 58, the very beginning of this passage that we heard in the first reading, it begins by saying the first three corporal works of mercy: feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked. We know the other ones, of course, because of later on in Matthew's gospel, chapter 25, of giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and burying the dead. But after it names these first three corporal works of mercy here, verse 8 says, then doing these, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. That is to say, doing these acts of charity brings light into the darkness. It evangelizes. And the Catholic Church has always thought this way. This has always been the mind of the church, that the corporal works of mercies are directly linked to evangelization. The church has always been on the leading front of the institution of hospitals, beginning and starting hospitals and forming orphanages and homeless shelters and food pantries. So I think the question the Lord might be asking us to ask ourselves this weekend is simply this. When was the last corporal work of mercy I did? Clothing the naked. St. Vincent de Paul truck that comes of giving of our excess clothes to those that don't have much. Or visiting the sick, the homebound. People who have no one to visit with them. Those in nursing homes that never have anybody to come and visit with them. Oftentimes, talk with Jolene, our director of pastoral care here, of how great it would be if we just had an army of people here at Our Lady of Mercy that we could call upon when we hear someone who's homebound, who's a shut-in, who's in a nursing home, just to call upon them and say, to go sit with this person for 2 hours, to visit the sick. The corporal works of mercy, of course, we can play out within family life, especially young parents who have kids are saying, like, I'm just trying to survive here. Talking about corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry. Who's more hungry than children that can't feed themselves? Or clothing the naked. If your infant or that baby who's crying right now, if they have clothes on, it's because their mom or dad put it on them. It's clothing the naked. How we care for our elderly parents, how we care for family members who maybe have special needs. So corporal works of mercy. Jesus is saying acts of charity, corporal works of mercy, is part and part of what it means to be a disciple, to change the world so that others might see that of how we care, our acts of charity, so others may see our good deeds and glorify the Heavenly Father. Maybe just to conclude here, to make this last move, or to point out this last move that the prophet Isaiah makes in the 58th chapter, after it lists these three corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, it mentions another effect that it has. It says, if you give bread to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted, in verse 10, then your wound shall quickly be healed. And the gloom shall become for you like the midday. That is to say, if we're struggling at all, or we're in a season of our life where we're down or we're depressed, or we're just like, I'm struggling. Like, what's the point of this all again? The church has always said the antidote to that is to do corporal works of mercy. Is to spend 2 hours with someone in a nursing home. To spend an hour with someone who's shut in. To feed someone who's hungry. So I've oftentimes, one of the glaring statistics that I've read about a year ago now is that this is the third straight year in the United States that the life expectancy has declined. In the midst of all the medical advancements in our country, life expectancy has declined for the third straight year. We live in a more and more isolated, confused, and depressed culture. An antidote Isaiah is proposing is to do corporal works of mercy. The world is in desperate need of game changers to give flavor to a world that has lost flavor, to cast light into a world that has become really dark. So be salt, be light, be a game changer by doing a corporal work of mercy this week.